and high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good.
Yep, and as my sister Verena would say, I am feeling good. And my name is Emilio Williams. I am one of your hosts, one segment of the family, a beautiful family that meets here and joins in every other Thursday and Sunday. And you're tuned to the newest scenes, the Thursday segment, new scenes. And, well, Nina Simone just brings that, oh, man, that breeze. I was just resonating with breeze drifting on by and thinking about every breath that I take is a new life for me. It's just a new breath that I can just breathe in the freshness of life and exhale. And so something about just inhale and exhale and in with this and just, wow. So I'm feeling really good. And I'm blessed to be with you, especially tonight, just an open mic night, unplugged, if you will. And let me just check in with the rest of the family. And Maha, how are you this evening? And what would be a feeling word for you?
I feel expanded. I feel, vast, expanded, all embracing.
Extended with a T, as in tango. Tav?
No, T as in polar expansion.
Oh, okay, great, beautiful.
All embracing, it all goes in that direction. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Beautiful. It's an honor and a blessing to have you here. And Verena, how about you? How are you feeling? And are you able to chime in with a feeling word and what's going on with you?
I'm feeling brilliant and happy. Thank you.
Brilliant and happy. And Michael, how about you, brother? How are you feeling this evening? What's the feeling word for you?
Quenched. Like I have received water and I am flowing with water and just satisfied.
Quenched, extended, brilliant, happy. Just feeling good, satisfied. Wow. Amazing. Well, let's just get into this dance for the evening and see what it brings and what we are able to receive as we receive one another. That's beautiful. I'm reading on page 3, and before I do that, I really would want to say to anybody that's listening in to the show, especially the way we dance around the ebook and how we use it, that it is the living word and it is updated. And you're able to receive that complimentary copy of it by visiting empoweringnow.com, empoweringnow.com, and visit the blog section. And tap into the newestscenes.com and download a copy of the book. And if you're listening now, you can pause and then go back and get the copy and archive and then come back and join in. My sense is that we'll be jumping around again as we usually do in the book. So just wanted to mention that. And the call-in number, if you're listening anywhere else, is 646-564-9680. And we also have an optional line as well, which is 619-924-0817. So we've got a couple ways that you can reach out, reach in. And I'm going to start from page 3 now that you have a copy of that book in front of you. The Newest Scenes. Welcome to The Newest Scenes, a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection as a way to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in, engaging, and coming back, we increasingly benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry. Authored by Mahalene Lewis and known as the XPR, and known as XPR, that inquiry is radical as it is based on sacred geometry. Each time we honestly engage in this learning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. And wow, the new scenes are sponsored by Empowering Now LLC. And there was one word that really spoke to me and touched me, and it is the word. And I could feel it when I said our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and the word is God. The word is powerful. And so maybe that'll come up again someplace through the night, but it's the word. It's the living word. As wow. How about you? What touches you from the reading page 3 this evening? Anything different touch any of you?
Yeah, this is Michael. I'm with the word renew, and it connects to water and the amount of water that we were talking about before the show, Emilio, and, you know, the rain and the renewal that comes through the water. And I think here of the soul, and I think here of the emotional body and how that connects to renewal and the idea that we come together and how that connects to my own renewal.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Verena?
And this is Verena. I actually was landing on the word authored because you had a great Mother's Day conversation on Newest Scenes about Maha actually birthing the baby that we know as XPR and all these amazing e-books. And that got me excited, thinking about how, you know, going through the birthing channel of life, we get through somehow, but we have to go through whatever we have to go through, and that's what forms us and creates newer dimensions. So that's what I heard.
Beautiful. And that is, when you say we have to go through what we have to go through, the first image I got was this moth that was laying on the ground one day, and I remember seeing it there and how immediately I was felt, you know, because my perception was that it was suffering and it was, and how I wanted to help it out of its little cocoon. And I remembered that someone once told me if I touched it, I would actually kill it because it really had to go through that process to become the beautiful butterfly that it would be. And so when you touched me when you said, you know, this all this work that we're doing brings a degree of understanding that, you know, to go through whatever we have to go through and to emerge as the blossom. So thank you.
Yeah, exactly. To transform. That's what we butterflies or caterpillars are up to.
Amen. Maha, how about you? Anything to share?
For me, the word radical touched me. And I can see how it also connects to some of what you were saying in terms of the birth and the water, the word. I mean, the word has a root. And I was thinking, with all of the water that fell today, maybe I would have an easier time to take the root, the weeds out by the root, you know, the radical. And I'm really liking the parallel that there is between nature and consciousness, because just like my lung has weeds, so does my mind. And through the renewing of water, the cleansing of water, I can bring a rebirth to the beauty of a pure mind, a beautiful mind without weeds. And that's birthing process. So that's what I was hearing in connection to all of what you were saying, and also just go for it.
That's beautiful. Both of you are hitting on things that are really resonating with me, like today, and I'm feeling through this now that you've mentioned it, because the rain, we've been getting a lot of rain here. 13 out of 16 days it's been raining. And today is one of the first days that the sun came out, and tomorrow, and then it'll be back rain on Saturday and cold again. But what I realized was, in my yard, I was wanting to grow grass, but in the yard, we couldn't get any rain. And then it's been raining ever since we planted the seeds. But what I've noticed now that there's been a lot of rain is that where all the little acorns fell, they took root, and there's just so many weeds and little trees attempting to grow up in the grass. And it's too young to do anything. So you have to really go pull them out to get these weeds out, and what you were saying about the water making it easier. But what else was interesting was that by them growing up and extending themselves to be seen, it made it easier to pull them out. Otherwise, if I'd have cut the grass, I wouldn't have been able to pull them, because there would have been nothing to hold on to pull it out. But by them growing and showing themselves and becoming visible, now that they're visible, I can pull them up by the root. But without them being visible, all I could do is pull the tops off, and then they would grow back again. So anyway, I'm just resonating with what you were saying, and it goes back to this parallel between nature and consciousness in terms of a lesson that nature is showing me right in my front yard, that this has to become visible in order to pluck it from its roots. Wow.
Yeah, and the emotions help, or the water helps, and the feelings necessary to sustain that pulling of the weed. So, yeah, that's another little piece that I heard on top of that. Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, with open mic night, and there's so many different places that we can go this evening and open up the discussion. I know we want to dance through and just maybe randomly pick page that calls us, and maybe there's some other things on your heart that you would like to talk about. I do have one question, and would like to pose that to each one of you and see what it is that you think about it, and what it is that you feel, what comes to heart when you hear the question and how you respond. If we took just a small minute on that, I think it would touch us each deeply, and if there's anybody else listening, may touch them as well. But the question is, what came to me was, what excites you most about XPR? What impresses you most? What nourishes you most? So it could be any of those words, but what is it about the path of XPR, what we do together? What impresses you, excites you, that you enjoy the most? Does that question make sense?
Love it.
Yep.
And so I could go first, but I've been talking. So just anybody could go. Just what it, and there's no time limit on it, but just the feeling of your heart, the passion about what is it about what we do, and what is it that really excites you?
This is Michael. I'll go first. The thing that excites me the most about XPR is the confidence. In one word, it's confidence. You know, I've studied a lot of spiritual teachings, and what XPR has done is given me confidence that the now is enough. And no matter what it is that I'm facing in any area of my life, the knowledge that all actually is written by a benevolent God, and that I am safe and enough, and what XBR has done is showed me enough of a connection to understand my pathology, to where I know that I will always have enough in each moment, and that there's nothing that can take me out of my commitment to being loved. And that just inspires confidence for me. That's my, in a nutshell.
Wow, that's beautiful. I without going into each one of these, let's just see what others have and then see how all of this ties together. Verena, how about you? What's going on with you?
Well, one of the things I really love about our coming together is I get to really hear and resonate with everyone who shares, and I find a piece of myself reflected back for me to understand more. And I also love the total commitment to the truth, and that we do it in a loving fashion. It's just gorgeous, so that I know if I keep coming back, I'm going to unearth more and more of the real me, not the me I think I am. And it's exciting, and it's exciting to be a witness to my family, who I see the growth and the joy that comes from being at peace. And I really do attribute that to the work and the love of this community.
Beautiful. Awesome. How about you, Maha?
For me, I would have to answer by way of one word, actually two words. One is multidimensionality, and one is movie. So the word. And I'm speaking of movie because there are many movies lately that have straddled the theme of multidimensionality, of parallel universes. And it's like, you go to a movie, and then there's a scene that touches a person, and then it touches that other person, and then it travels to another situation. And then it seems like it makes no sense, because there's so many directions. It touches so many universes. And then by the end of the movie, you see the common ground of it all. And those are my favorite kind of movies, actually. There's a form of intelligence to them and sensibility that touches me. They're not linear by any stretch of the imagination. And that's what I see that XPR is for me. It satisfies my hunger for multidimensionality. It is never, ever, ever boring. It always gives me another way to look at it, another haircut, another hair color, another perspective, another color, another adjustment of word. And by twisting my mind in all of those possibilities, it expands me. It frees me. It literally blows my mind away. And that's why our book keeps on changing. That is why XPR is the living word, because it's multidimensional. It can never be stuck in one position ever, always moving, evolving, changing from one common root that is the expression of love. And that is so precious to me. I love that about XPR. It keeps on surprising me. It keeps me interested. It keeps me alive. That's what I love about it.
Amen. That's beautiful. I was just, when I was thinking, when this question came to me today, I reflected on it and I thought, well, there's so many different things. One, and it ties a little pieces of what you all are saying, but it's it really comes back to, I used to be really heavily involved in studying the Bible, and I was always so adamant because I was angry for a long time because it was difficult to accept that the Bible meant the things that preachers or pastors were saying that it meant, and that people were just caught up in kind of an emotion and following. And I was always so angry about that. And what I chose to do was to leave the church, if you will. And then people would come after you and try to convert you and bring you back into the folds of the Lamb. But what I found in XCR is literally keys that unlocked the codes of the Bible and really helped me understand it a lot clearer, to see some things very different. But even beyond that, the understanding of myself, my own pathology, my own projection of smallness, my own greed, my own selfishness, my own pathology that would have me fight to prove that I was something for so many years, when what that did was to cause me to put down someone else and never really understanding that pathology that I was really putting down me. And so it's just really, I just find it very nice to have a process that I can learn those spiritual things, because it's all spirit that's coming from within, and at the same time have people that I can talk to about it that don't think I'm off the wall or I'm crazy or I'm a heretic, that can relate to one story of pain that we all share, to one story of suffering that we all share, and to be able to bring light into my feet and a lamp to my path, and understanding that as I walk is, I just find so valuable and so blessed for me. So as I was thinking about that and my ups and downs, my ins, my outs, and all of what I've experienced, explored, and that has expired within me, I wonder what this really means to each one of my brothers and sisters that's on the line, and what touches them, because what touches you touches me also. It's just wanting to hear and feel that love coming from you. So thank you for taking a minute to share that. And Verena, I'm really glad to ask you, like, out of the four of us that spoke, what's the thread that you feel coming through everything that's been said? I think you may have the capacity to synthesize what's been said by all of us.
It's called L-O-V-E.
Awesome. Well, any comments from anybody else? Maha, Michael, any other thoughts on this regard?
Yeah, Emilio, certainly. First of all, thanks for the question. It was a great question. And thank you for your answer. To a large degree, what you answered about making sense of the biblical stories in such an utter practicality and how that relates to, I mean, there's such a deep amount of wisdom that comes out of really getting, oh, you know, the Bible actually contains codes for the shadow as well as the light. And as I get those codes, then that's where my confidence comes from. So you spoke the reason that I was explaining the idea of confidence, but it's the same concept. There's an utter courage and confidence that comes from knowing that, hey, I can fight it as long as I want. Have I had enough suffering yet?
Amen.
Yeah, I agree with you, Michael, both on the appreciating the question and on the confirming your direction. And yes, it's all about healing and healing the mind, and that this would actually be achieved through what, to a religious or to an ancient text that would have code. That is absolutely strange. And the fact is, I mean, I see that as well as an expansion. I see that as well as tying into the multidimensionality of our being, because it is only when I am a fanatic stuck into one position that there is a pathology. So I do see that there is a common theme in what we all brought forward as an end of pathology by way of a decoding that is honors and brings back the health of a tradition by bringing forth the multidimensionality of meanings where each of us can recognize a sense of community by which to be loved. So that's absolutely a glorious synergy of voices.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm listening to you use the word multidimensionality a few times, and there's only one place in the newest scenes where that word is mentioned, multidimensionality. And it is on page 48, which is XPR Recipe and Pilgrimage. And I'm wondering, unless you are led to another page that may pick you, would you like to comment at all on this multidimensionality of electronic Hebrew on this particular page? Is there anything that you would want to share about this page?
Are you speaking to me, Emilio?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I would go through the logo. You know, you spoke of word when mm-hmm. we began our experience together. And the logo is the logo, so the logos is the logo. And there are two logos on this page. I mean, there's, of course, the logo of XPR to the left that has this beautiful sapphire. And sapphire is such an interesting stone because it's one of the stones that can change color. Like there's red sapphires, there's yellow sapphires, although most known are the blue sapphire. And the word sapphire itself comes from Hebrew sapir, which is XPR. So in other words, Hebrew does not have vowels. So if you look at the consonant of Sapphire, Sapphire, you have S-P-R. And that's XPR. The S actually became an X, XPR. Mm-hmm. Sapphire, the light of that stone. And the tradition had it that the law was inscribed on the fire stone. So that's one logo. The other logo that touches me is to the right of the page, and it is the logo that concerns pharmacy, drugstores, drugs. And I also spoke of movies. And of course, there's this amazing quote of The Matrix. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. You take the blue pill, the story ends, and you wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. And so, you know, XPR is the blue pill. It is the red pill. It is whatever. It can take you wherever you want it to take you. It is that deep. But then, when looking at the pill logo, the drugstore logo, the pharmacy's logo, there is actually a reference to gods and healings. It is an invocation for a cure, from the understanding that the mind is what requires healing. And that when the mind is healed from its perception of karma, from its perception of reward and punishment, cause and effect, then health comes in. And when the mind is healthy, the body follows. And so it's interesting that XPR would be so universal, so multidimensional a language, that it can be found in the matrix, because it is a matrix itself. It is a mother language. And that mother language touches, can't help but touching the design of the pharmaceutical logo, which has an R for recipere in Latin, recipe, and a P and an X, I'm sorry, that comes out of the R referring to Zeus, Jupiter, the patron of medicine. And as you look from the R into going into the X, take the X out of the R, then you get a P as in XPR. And it's like, how amazing is that? So, yeah, in multidimensional English, XPR lights a path for the ego mind to express, experience, explore consciousness, and therefore expire to its limitedness, to the narrow places of it, and becomes way bigger than what we thought we were. So, and you know, and enough. So that touches me in this page. That's how I relate it to multidimensional. Amazing. It's just amazing.
It really is. It really is. This really couldn't have been planned in any way. I'm really just sitting here enjoying the flow, the way this whole conversation started and where we are and what you're just sharing right now. And it just brings back even the words that we brought in as we started and where we came in with. Karina, Michael, any comments, reactions to what Maha is saying here?
Yeah, this is Michael. One thing that, you know, just another play on the words and to extend it with to back to what you were saying and what I was saying earlier, you know, the word sapir sounds like software, and sefer, which is another one of these words that can be derived from this root, they do. They sound a lot like software, and I find myself as being a lifelong student of the technology industry, you know, starting back in the mid-80s with Xerox and spending most all of my life working for a software company in one way or the other, and looking at, you know, the analogy we had earlier between rain and the metaphysics of rain. And I like the same sort of analogies in the world of software and the programming of the cosmos. When I can understand, and you know, one of the jokes that they say in the software industry is that all hardware eventually fails and all software eventually works. And the idea with what I'm hearing and feeling about what we're doing with XPR is we're debugging the software. We happen to be early adopters, you know, beta testing, if you will, the code that really encapsulates what you're saying, Amelia, what's written in the Hebrew Bible as it relates to all of the things that preachers preach that feel like it's close but not quite there. That code, that software, is actually right here. And in that context, I love the multidimensionality that there may just be a way, a code, to understand my own programming, to where when I understand that shadow, I change, I transcend. And it looks like Area 201 just joined back in on this side. Maybe that's V getting to her home.
It is.
Probably, you're right. Yeah. That's amazing addition to the conversation. Verena, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Nope.
Okay, so let me just ask you, and then let's just figure out. Let's just go to a page. But this question is probably inherent in the answer is probably inherent in the question itself. And so, if and since the mind is what requires healing, I like the way that was expressed, and to see the express experience and explore consciousness to come to expire to my limitations that I'm not enough. What is it that draws everyone to look for the answer everywhere else outside themselves? I mean, what is it that, why is that so steeped in that there's got to be a solution? There's the answers in this, the answers in that. I mean, when what we're looking at is if we explore consciousness to come to understand this pathology, what is it that keeps the collective locked in to that the answer is somewhere else and not within me? Is that what? How do y'all respond to that?
This is Brandon. The first thing that comes to my mind is traditional schooling. I mean, I just picture myself as a kid, and wanting to get the right answer. And, of course, the answer really wasn't coming from me. It was something I was told to read or study. So how would I get to even arrive at the idea that I might inherently have the answers myself? That's amazing.
So you speak sort of limitations that I'm implicit in there, limitations that are brought on through conditioning and outside control through educational
Yeah,
process.
As in the orientation that I was mostly aware of until recently.
Right. So Maha, Michael, what other, any other thoughts?
Well, I mean, yes, conditioning, you know, building on what I heard Verena say, and more specifically for me, conditioning the way in which I pray. You know, I was taught, and it was taught very with a lot of force, the idea that I am supposed to worship a God that is based upon a lot of the interpretations that come from the Bible. The idea that I can only go to heaven after I die, that I'm doomed to be a sinner, and that there's only one way to accept salvation, and not having a clear understanding of how that maps to the way that those teachings were. It's a radical idea, but my whole point here is religious misinterpretation of the Bible that prevents me from going all the way to taking responsibility for my shadow would be the reason that I see people stuck in the cycle of following. The Bible says there's only one way to salvation, and that story hasn't been completely decoded enough to where people can actually hear it.
Maha, what other thoughts or comments would you add? It's just a question that came up for me, because I know that it's a rabbit hole and it goes deep. And what you were saying earlier is, how deep does it go, and do you really want to know? And I know there are times when you have said to me, Elio, do you really want to know the truth? Let's go deeper and let's go deeper. Do you? And how much of a fight there is to not wanting to go deeper. So what other comments, how would you respond?
Well, that's a big question. I would say that I, first of all, agree with what has already been spoken. The way that I would maybe add to what has already been said is in the indoctrination of externalization. So, in other words, I'm taught that it's all out there, that God is out there, that everything I seek is out there. Instead of encouraging a viewpoint and a perspective by which I could come to my heart and understand self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is not at all encouraged. And yes, I would say that whether it is in secular schooling or in religious schooling, the results are really, really difficult and painful. And I would also agree that whether we are raised religiously or not, we're still raised religiously, because the collective trained to be thinking that, yeah, we're like those miserable things, and that God is out there, and that it's like a parent that is watching whether we're good or not and is going to punish us. And of course, it's a he. And so this indoctrination that what I want is outside of me. If I'm a woman, then I can't be a man. And if I'm a man, I can't live alone. And it's always out there, out there, out there, out there, of my own, nothing. And that's painful. That is hugely painful, because that is not the truth. There's nothing out there. There's no one out there. Why aren't we being taught that? Why aren't we taught or encouraged to seek a path by which to feel our higher self or God inside us, that we are that? So, yes, that is saying what has been said in different words, mm-hmm. but I do see mm-hmm. that there's a common ground to what we're seeing.
Amen. Amen. Well, unless someone has a page, I think there's a, I'm already in random integers, and I'm thinking about maybe a page between 8 and, what, 59? If we wanted to choose one random, I'm interested in how whatever page pops up relates to where we are this evening and the mystery that we're talking about. So I'm looking for one number that would pop up between the pages of 8 and 59, and I'm going to hit go to see how that works to get a number, and I come up with page 18. So if you have your material open, let's go to page 18 and see what lies on page 18, and maybe that's the page that we are to explore this evening. How's that?
It's good with me.
Page 18 happens to be simplicity and the law. Wow. So, and then I think, as we say, any page in here is going to bring us to another aspect of the mystery. But was there somebody that would like to start with this page? Let's just look at this, and we may have an opportunity to do another. Any volunteers?
Simplicity in the law. What will it take to change an insane ingrained habit and thus move to wisdom? The core message on how to do so is simple. Everything is one. Love what is. Love the neighbor as yourself. Know thyself and brush your teeth. Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what we've been talking about in terms of, mm-hmm. You know, there's the simplicity of what the Bible says. Read the Bible. Thou shalt really read the Bible. Be a good boy, not a bad boy. You know, help the neighbor. Love the neighbor. And then, you know, to continue and witness the results that are not aligned with that simplicity, it's a bit of a, it's like, what's going on here? Page, it says, such is the body of the law given by the prophets and dentists across traditions. Although it is transcultural, we still can't hear it, as shown by our many wars and our petty quarrels, both with self and others. And this page asks the question, are you in your power when you're not at peace? And I can speak for myself and say, no, there is zero power when I am not peaceful. What I'm doing when I'm not peaceful is anything but effective, it's anything but efficient, and it certainly is not loving, which really answers the next question. What are the results of my actions when I am not in peace? Yeah, the results are a lack of harmony. The results are despair, sadness, loneliness, all of the emotions that, you know, when I'm peaceful, do not exist.
Yeah.
And so what this page asks us at the bottom is a really important, simple question. Where does peace come from? You know, if the Bible does say love the neighbor as the self, and we're not still at peace and therefore not in power, XPR is asking a question. It's a really provocative question. Might there be a way to understand and therefore sustain peace, perhaps differently? Good page.
And I know that there are times when we work together with, as we're working together with one another, we will not only just, and for people that are have no clue as to what we just did, I went to random.org and put in an integer and told it to randomly so that I wouldn't, behind the manipulation of the numbers, to pick a number between 8 and 59, and this happened to be the number. And so what we also do when we do this kind of work together in a loving way is we come back to another question, like, okay, so we go through the page, and I'm going to ask Maha or Verena also if there's anything else that touches you about this page. But the other question that we ask one another is, Michael, why do you think this page chose you this evening? Why did this page show up for you?
Yeah, for me, Amelia, it goes back to what I spoke earlier. The more that I renew this conversation, the fresher I stay. And that's a big part of the confidence because, you know, I show up. I know that I show up, and I have, and I will continue. So it is, for me, this page picked me to remind me of the simplicity, which at the same moment reminds me of the depth. And that depth that inspires the confidence that I spoke of earlier. So, for me, it's a reminder. Thanks for the question.
Amen. Thank you. How about you, Verena? Any thoughts or comments? Why would this page come into your space this evening?
This moment, I don't have anything to share.
Maha?
Oh, I do. Surprise, surprise. I love this page, you know, I do. It's one of the key pages of our work, and the simplicity and the law is so lovely. So several things touch me. To begin with the first question, what will it take to change an insane ingrained habit and just move to wisdom? And I stand to tell you that this is the core of why XPR exists, is because of that question of seeing myself insane, absolutely insane, and realizing that I was insane, and looking for solutions, and going to psychology and to psychiatry and having no reprieve from it. And finally, out of despair, going to God and saying, look, you got me. Now, help me heal. Because this insane ingrained habit of mine, I've had it. I am really tired to kill myself. I choose to live. Help. And that's how XPR began to be heard. I'm saying began to be heard because it took a lifetime to get it to where it is. And it took the partnership of the people that are online right now. So that touches me. Now, when you were speaking of the religious message being love, I realized today, hold on, sorry about my throat needing clearing because it does need clearing to say what I'm about to say.
Amen.
I speak of love, but the reality is when someone makes an appointment with me and that person is late, I hit them. You know, when I'm on the road and somebody drives like a crazy nut in front of me or takes my parking space, I hit them. And then it took me a lifetime to forgive my mother, who I'm supposed to love. And so here I am, like professed to be on a spiritual path, unable to love. And so it's like, yeah, granted that I know I have power, how many times did I misuse it because I was not in peace? Do I like the result of my action when I am not in peace? I hate them. Do I love them? I don't think so. I hate it. And so that comes to that last question. Where does peace come from? And that's such a big question. And it's been answered for us throughout the century. Einstein speaks of how peace and understanding goes together. So does the gospel. so does the number teacher, the Thai piece to understanding. And that's what I love about XPR. It's that it's stretching my mind in all those directions until I get it. And when I get it, then the belief that limits me, it goes away. It disappears. I don't have to use my power because I can't anyway. Even if I wanted to use my power to let go of the belief, it won't go until I understand. And that code that is on that page that looks at the six aspects of simplicity, that is how I understand. That is how I come to the confidence that I can one day be unconditionally loving. And that's what gives me the courage to own that I am into enmity when I am not in love with you. And forgive me, or with me, for that matter of fact. And forgive me for that until I really get it. That's how that touches me.
Mm. Just the perfect page that brings us really almost full circle in this whole conversation from the beginning, because you went back to a statement, and that's what I love about XPR. It brings us right back to that opening aspect and ties in this whole piece that you were talking about earlier that we've each been saying, from Verena saying earlier that, you know, you really have to go through it to come to a place to really see and to appreciate and embrace, but there's no way but through it. And to your comment earlier about that the mind is what requires the healing. And so what will it take to change this ingrained habit is that if we keep coming back and continue to engage, as Michael was saying earlier, it brings that confidence to understand the pathology, and as you put it in your words, it stretches my mind until I get it. It just continues to stretch my mind until I get it. That resiliency is so significant that if I keep coming back and staying engaged, I get to a different place of understanding. And when I come to that place of understanding, I come to that place of peace. And when I come to that place of peace, I'm no longer misusing my power. And so that's how I'm hearing and feeling all of this tying back together. And if this is this open mic without a topic, I'm trusting that Sunday is probably going to be very similar or something simpler that adds to and expands where we are. But what's the takeaway for you this evening, given what we've been talking about? Verena, how about you?
Well, this is Brent. Yeah, I want to just say that's my resonance with what you were just all sharing, is with the expansion of the mind is and the watering of the mind and truly getting in touch with our feminine side, our soulful side, it lets the weeds go, because we really get to weed it out to see what the beliefs really have been, the lies have been. And I'm just loving it. It's like, okay, this really is a portal to loosen it up and really get underneath it, that understanding truly. And it does then let go of us. It's beautiful.
Yeah, this is Michael. I'm reminded by so many of these quotes in the New Testament, which is just like a big punch right in the jaw. And one that came to mind is this idea that resist not evil. And, you know, what the heck does that mean other than what I heard you just say, Verena, and what I heard you say, Emilio? It's like, when I resist looking at my own darkness, there is no power. And certainly no peace. And so the idea of this resistance to reality and learning to have the soulful intention of staying in the fire, to feel my feelings, and that's how the water helps me to find the weeds, pick them, and to do so without shame, and to really therein become the transformational butterfly that, Verena, you were speaking of earlier. Just this is how the transformation occurs, through the waters, through the feelings. Thank you. Thank you all.
Mm-hmm. Maha, how about you?
Well, what I got out of this our gathering this evening is a even more expansion and more gratitude. And I am grateful because what I am sensing, and first of all, I'm grateful for your leadership, Emilio, in this call, where the question you asked were amazing. They were gorgeous, beautiful, and deep, and brought something very profound in each of us. But also, I am grateful because the linearity of the new is seen, is done, it is finished. I am sensing that in this transition that we are in, as the month of June will bring a very different book to light as the new is seen, that we touched into a way to do our shows for them to be real and not fixed or static or limited to a specific stage, but to be more in the flow of our own soul, of our own water, of the very weeds that need to be pulled out, and of the word that is important for today. So that fills my heart with joy and deep, deep gratefulness to finally see the simplicity of this offering. And I humbly thank the three of you for your patience and your compassion in this process with us, with me, with this, with SPR.
Amen. There was something, I don't know whether it was a session that I was listening to with you and Verena or something you said, but there was something about coming to, and Michael just mentioned the word resist, not evil, but there was something that you said about the word resist was when you take the ears out of resist, you come to rest. And that brought me to rest in peace. But usually when people say rest in, that's when you die, and that is to die to who I think I am, and that's when I will rest in peace. And so that's where I'm bringing this all to a place. And Verena, if you are able, would you be willing to read page 70 to close us out?
I am not. I defer to one of you.
Okay, Michael?
You bet. All right, page 70 says, the path of XPR is an invitation for me to voyage through inner space beyond any boundaries into the arms of my infinite self, an idea whose time has come. It is here because I asked for it. It conveys the knowing that I am love, that I have love, and that I can adopt the behavior of love. PR asks me a very real question. Do I have the courage to persevere to the end when I die to who I think I am and am reborn into who I really am? And the gap in between these two quote-unquote I lands, my creative power awaits. I am the aim. Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you all. there's nothing else to be said. But are we together on Sunday, Michael?
We are. Yep, we're all set.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Looking forward. So thank you, everyone. And Maha, I'll send you a note very shortly about Saturday. I trust that that is still available, and I look forward to being with you. And good night, everyone, and peace and love. It's been an extreme pleasure. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Good night.
Good night. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling